This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I want to go to the hotline here. North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We welcome in Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Daryl, I do want to say Jarvis Landry is on pace now, because I did the math. He's on pace for 82 catches. It's still a good year as far as Browns receivers go. But as far as the NFL goes and as far as Jarvis Landry goes, that would be a disappointment for him. He looked pretty disappointed at times on the sideline yesterday. What do you think's going on there?
He's being asked to be a number one wide receiver, and he's not a number one wide receiver.
Whoa!
Daryl, right. Come on.
It's going to be that type of interview. All right?
I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. He is great at what he does, and that's not me criticizing or ripping Jarvis. He's not a number threat wide receiver. He's the number two guy, and that's what makes him so deadly and lethal. The problem is the Browns don't have a number one guy, and so they're able to focus defensively your opponents on taking Jarvis out of the mix, because Antonio Callaway can't adjust to a football. He's fast, can't adjust or catch a ball deep. You got nobody else in that receiving core right now. They're all dropping like flies. So, you know, when Rod Streeter getting hurt in the first quarter turns out to be a devastating injury for you within the game, it just tells you how thin you are at receiver. So I think that Jarvis is being asked to do something that just doesn't fit his strengths physically as well as a player, and that's not Jarvis Landry's fault.
Well, I get worried, Daryl, because he is a guy that can be temperamental. I remember there are people down in Miami that reported on those Dolphins teams and said, look, Jarvis, a great slot guy, but you ride the roller coaster with him. And we saw earlier in the year, it was all rah-rah, and he's going to be a leader. And now you're seeing the bad body language. That's kind of what you get with Jarvis Landry, is it not, Daryl?
Yeah, and, you know, he's got plenty of reason to be frustrated. There's no question about it. To my knowledge, was not in the locker room after the game, and that might have been partially because he didn't want to say anything that could, upset the apple cart. And so the old adage, if you don't have anything nice to say, keep your mouth shut, don't say it at all.
We wouldn't have a radio show then.
Yeah, but... Ooh. You know, I'm sure it's doing with him. I tweeted the stat yesterday about his catch percentage. It's the lowest it's ever been at around 50%. His previous low was around 66%. That's a 16% drop, which is very, very significant.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. Why is Nick Chubb not getting more carries?
I don't know.
No, he got his customary three carries.
I mean, same reason why Todd Haley can't figure out how to use Duke Johnson yet. We're 6 weeks into the season. So, you know, all Duke did was give you 100-plus yards from scrimmage yesterday, and he only touched the ball twice in the run game. I don't know.
So how would you do – is there a real legitimate – do you wonder if there's a legitimate reason, Daryl? Because I'm being serious. Every time he touches the ball, he seems to go into float mode, but he only touches the ball twice. And so, or three times yesterday, I'm sorry. You've got to make sure they all count. And I'm starting to guess, well, does he not know the entire offense? Is he a liability in pass protection? So you only know that he's on the field when he's getting the ball. I don't know what it is. And then you brought up Duke Johnson, where they had to use more Duke Johnson because we're back to square one when it comes to wide receivers in that game. That was the 2017 wide receiver core yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't figure it. I get a migraine trying to figure it out. I kind of figured that Chubb was in for an even more reduced role. He's averaging, I haven't seen the snap count yet, but he's averaging around 5-6 snaps offensively per football game. But It is one of life's great mysteries, but Hugh Jackson seemed to foretell last week that, because I asked him about getting all three receivers, or I should say all three running backs, enough touches and spreading the ball around them to keep them all happy, but also keep them effectively productive. And, Hugh made a comment to the effect of, anywhere last week. So, it is a good problem to have because you have players that you believe in. It's good to be able to question the usage of these guys. The usage of them is not that great. It remains a mystery why Todd Haley, who's supposed to be, this great master of, dealing with talent, coming off his stint with the Pittsburgh Steelers and what he was able to help do for that offense, I think that there is at times a deficiency when it comes to an effective use of the talent offensively on this football team.
Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joined us on the hotline. Darryl, what did you see from Baker yesterday? Because obviously we were really excited about Baker last week. We were talking about whether or not he's a franchise quarterback. And yesterday, it was just not a good day.
No, it wasn't. He looked like a rookie. That was his welcome to the NFL game. All rookie quarterbacks have games like that. He held the ball too long. I don't know how much the ankle injury late in the first quarter. He got caught on the sticks or something on the sideline. He stepped on something going out of bounds or falling out of bounds that turned his ankle a little bit. He said after the game that did not affect him. Hugh Jackson reiterated that as well. It obviously did. But that was the first time that I saw Baker Mayfield indecisive and unsure of what he wanted to do. Now, part of that was because these receivers struggled getting open, and when they were open, Baker just, quite frankly, did not see that they were open. Also didn't help, not one, but two touchdowns got dropped. You can't have footballs going through guys' hands, plain and simple. And that's been a problem for this football team this year, the dropped passes. So just collectively, everything went wrong yesterday for Baker Mayfield, and it was really the first time he looked like he was in over his head, because at no point did I believe they were going to come back and win that football game yesterday. It was whether or not they could bounce back and show a little moxie to make the scoreboard a little more respectable, and they weren't even really able to do that.
Darryl Ryder joining us on the hotline. Darryl, I've brought this up before, and it's not where I can sit here and defend Hugh Jackson at every turn. I won't, because there's no reason to. But I do think there's a tremendous difference in the trust that the organization has for Hugh than what the fans have in Hugh Jackson.
That is correct.
This was the first time I could truly say, before they've just been out-assed, this is the first time I've said, man, they really just gave up and quit and rolled over and died. And you can have these type of games. There's been decent football teams who have. But, you're going on the road against Tampa Bay. If you do this again, Darryl, I think that if you really want a legitimate smoking gun with the organization about Hugh Jackson and his future with this team, that was the one leg that they could really stand on, that they were playing for him. And if they do this again here soon, that's a major problem for this organization.
I have a question for you guys. Who do I see about my refund for those playoff tickets you guys were selling last
week? Oh, Darryl.
Oh, here we go. What are you doing? What, is it my fault? Do you think they were listening to me?
you're 100% right, Ken. The one leg that you could that Hugh Jackson had to stand on was team showed up every Sunday and gave a maximum effort. And I never want to go down that. I'm not in the room. I'm not on the sideline as the game is on. I'm hesitant to.
All right. That went well. All right. That whole answer's going well.
Hold on, Darryl. We're going to put you on hold here.
Put him on hold.
We're going to try to reestablish contact with Darryl Ryder.
Maybe we'll answer the rest of the damn questions on Morse code.
His chemistry with the phone was what we saw out of the quarterback and the wide receivers yesterday. It was not a good day yesterday. And obviously, we'll talk to Darryl about what the hell happened to the defense, because defense got absolutely shredded. I would ask why so many blitzes. Because that was obviously, to me, what you couldn't do. Or if you're going to do it, you had to do it like you did against Drew Brees early in the year where they really confused Drew Brees. And a lot of times they didn't even bring added pressure. It was just the guys up front getting to Drew Brees when they needed to, especially in the second half of that game. In this case, I thought, Ken, right from the onset, that the Chargers saw stuff on film that they knew they were going to take some chances. They were going to go after. And the coverage wasn't terrible. I thought a couple times.
They did it twice in a row. They went to Tyrell Williams twice in a row in the same play and got gains of like 40 yards and then a touchdown.
All right, Daryl, did they get a little blitz happy yesterday, Greg Williams, in that scheme?
Yeah, and I said shouldn't get blitz happy, but what do I know?
Well, we talked about it on the pregame. It was one of the things I was worried about for this game, that he's going to dissect you. He's going to win plays before the ball is even snapped because he basically does the Peyton Manning stuff up there. And you're not going to confuse him easily. But, you know, I had seen the Browns confuse Big Ben earlier in the year and Drew Brees, so this was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, well, I mean, but this is what Greg Williams does. Sometimes ego gets in front of the brain, and, you know, he wants to have this aggressive attacking defense no matter what at all costs, and sometimes it's not prudent to do that. Sometimes you have to, you know, pick and choose your battles, and guys were not getting home at all. They finished, I think, with one sack. They hit Rivers four times total. I don't think the game plan was very sound on either side of the football yesterday, and I would probably say the final score backs me up on that.
Phillip Rivers went up to Greg Williams and started talking trash to him after the opening drive touchdown. Did Greg get worked into a shoot?
Possibly. Greg Williams is one of those guys who's not hard to work into a shoot, Ken. You know that.
That's a good point. I wonder there, because you're saying, well, the ego might have gotten in the way of the brains, which is – that's a strong statement, buddy, and I guess I can't necessarily disagree, but I know that you had Phillip Rivers, who loves to talk, loves to get in guys' faces, loves to get in their heads, and might have ended up doing that with Greg Williams, because, boy, they blitzed a whole bunch, and they didn't really need to blitz a whole bunch there, Daryl. They really could have sat back and tried to play some defense.
And it would have been better off had they done that, because here's the sad thing about yesterday, aside from all, you know, the saddest statistical stat from yesterday, besides the 246 yards rushing on the ground, was the fact that Phillip Rivers completed 11 passes. And if you would have told me going into the game, Daryl, Phillip Rivers is going to complete 11 passes Sunday afternoon, I'd say Browns by 21. And the Browns lost by 24. He only needed to complete 11 passes. Three of those went to the same guy, two of them for touchdowns. Two passes, one drive, 89 yards. I mean, Phillip Rivers did not carve that defense up as the final score indicated. It was the ground game that was most lethal. But Rivers picked his spots. Boy, oh boy, he made some beautiful throws, and they were at the perfect time. So that to me was probably the most astounding stat, that Phillip Rivers had 11 completions in a 24-point blowout.
And it's two out of the last three games now that Greg Williams' defense has gotten basically shredded. All right, Daryl, we obviously talked about the wide receiver play. Can there be any answers whatsoever going forward? Ken was talking about how aggressive they might need to be kind of perusing that trade market before the deadline. Is that do you think that is something they could actually do?
Yeah, I do. I think it's something they might even have to do. Listen, Rashad Perryman is not going to be the answer. He is Corey Coleman minus the attitude. He can't catch a football. That's why he's no longer a Baltimore Raven. The Ravens are not in the business of giving a former first-round picks and putting him on the waiver wire. So if you're expecting Perryman to come in here and all of a sudden salvage this receiving core, I have news for you. You're sadly mistaken. That just isn't reality. You have to have realistic expectations here. I mean, there's this rumor that the Raiders might trade Cooper, which is insane. The Odell Beckham unhappiness in New York apparently continues. Maybe those are two guys you look at trading, but you also have to look at where this football team is and if it's worth giving up what will probably be required for those players, which is a first or second or some sort of package involving and starting with picks like that. Is it worth it this year? Are you that close to truly contending that if you make a deal like that, that gets you into the playoff picture? Or is this really truly a developmental year and you're just trying to take a step forward with this team, then I would probably say making a deal where you give up a first or a second round pick might not be the smartest thing to do. So that's something that John Dorsey's going to have to weigh before the trade deadline. But there is no question the need at the position is absolutely there, and it right now is a pretty dire situation.
All right, thanks, Darryl. You bring up a really good point that we're going to be debating coming up next. How aggressive do they need to be? We appreciate you coming on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll talk to you again.
You got it, guys.
All right, there he is, Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Oh, boy, he set it up there. That is an interesting philosophical question, Ken.
Did they
go all out
telling you
and try to make something happen and have to give up something substantial to go after a wide receiver? Or do they say, hey, we'll be back next year. We can use our actual draft picks and our cap space on something. We don't need to do something this dicey mid-year.
I can't wait till we come back, because I want to see your reaction to this. Because I feel I might have the Lima trap set up for Lima.
Uh-oh.
Especially with what we argued about last Friday. Go ahead.
All right, here's Jeff Thomas next with the update.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.